not aware of that. I'll be laying down here on the floor. Won't be nice. I'm going to be yelling for help. It's better that I use practice. Well, I sure enjoyed the tutorial from the Yamida. That was nice, huh? What a second. And, that's the well back then. Great dancer. Everybody that has talents to sing, dance, do nice things, and like to play the music. I don't sing and I don't dance. And thank God we're not here for that today, because it is a blessing. Let me tell you, everybody has their talents and gifts. But the passage from the letter of Peter that was read talks about men who spoke in old time, who spoke the Word of God. So we're here today to look together at the Word of God. And this is, right now, all the talent we need is to listen to what the Lord would try to tell us from His Word, and we can all do that. And I'd like to, you can look in the book of Psalms, if you would. You can look in Psalm 40. Thinking about the things that God can do. And it's something that I think we can all agree on, that there isn't anything that God can't do. But if we think about it for a minute, we want to ask ourselves this question today. Do we really believe that there's anything that God can't do? Do we act like that? Do we practice our faith that way? And I want to give you this thought, and this is sort of the title of the message, if you want to look at it that way. Think about this for a minute and see if you agree with this statement. The power of God to lift us up exceeds our ability to fall. The power of God to lift us up exceeds our ability to fall. God is greater than our ability to fall. And His ability to pick us up exceeds our capacity to continually fall. We might be the eternal Schlemiel, you know. But God is greater. We can fall 9 times and He can pick us up 10. The power of God to raise us up exceeds our ability to fall. This passage in Psalms, in the 40th Psalm, it's verse 17. It's numbered differently in the Hebrew, so if you have a Hebrew Bible, it's verse 18. I think the English translation is something like, I am poor and needy. Ve'ani poni ve'avyon Adonai afshavli. For I am afflicted, actually. For I am afflicted and needy, or poor. This is my state. But Adonai, Achshavli, God thinks about me. God thinks about me. I am in His thoughts. Continuing, Ezrati u'mefalti. He is my strength, and He is the means of my escape. It means He is my deliverer, but the particular choice of word there, mafati, Oded there would probably know better than myself, being a native speaker. But my strength, and the particular word means to be delivered, as to escape from. To escape from someone who pursues. Ata Elohai El Tatar. Lord is my God, and please hasten to me. So the psalmist here is talking about a state in which he sees himself as being afflicted and needy, and in all of this, he's comforted by the sure and certain knowledge that he is in the thoughts of God. The Creator of the universe thinks about him. Think about that for a minute. God thinks about you. In the Psalm of Psalm 37, if you want to flip back over, we read a little bit from Psalm 37. 37:23. The steps of a man, talking about someone who follows God now, were ordered by the Lord. Adonai, a righteous man, his way, his steps are determined by God. God fixes them, Fernando. Adonai, Mitzade, Gebeh, Fernando. The steps of a righteous person who looks to God from whatever state that he is in, his steps are ordered or set by the Lord God. Bedarko Lachbats. In his path, he delights. God delights in our path. In the first place, it is God who directs our steps and orders our way when we look to him. And then it delights him when we follow the path that he chooses for us. We please him with the right. God thinks about you. You are in his thoughts, and God delights in you. You follow the steps that you take. Because he has the best interest in mind. So that's pretty good. The creator of the universe thinks about it. Takes the right. Follows his path. Good stuff. I want to talk a little bit about driving tanks. This is a particular pursuit of mine in Israel. The next time you find yourself in a tank, let me give you some good advice. When you're in a tank, you don't just look out the front window and step on the gas. You ever seen these World War II submarine pictures where the guy says up periscope and he looks out this door? That's what you drive a tank. When you're inside a tank and you're all buttoned up, you have a periscope so that people can't shoot into the front window. It sticks up and has a little viewer, and there's a reflection. It's like a periscope, and you can see a little bit to one side and the other. About 17 degrees to the left and the right. That's it. If you want to see more to the left and more to the right, you have to turn the tank that way or turn the tank this way, which makes the tank great for wide open spaces, allows for narrowalities and things like that. If you can't just go from the front to the back, instead of the front to back. So you can't see too well. So to drive a tank straight without running off the road, I mean, it's big and it's powerful and you control a lot of 1,500 horsepower. Right? Yeah, a lot of power, and it's over, you've got it, it's worth it. But in order to drive it straight, because you don't want to roll over and set the tank, you have to have somebody telling you the direction. That's why the tank commander has to tell you which way to go. And he communicates over your headset and your radio, you know. Hashan, Kadina, Chimole, here you go. To me, they say, Hayat, a lot. Slow down, slow down. Hayat, Hayat. So, why is that? You have to have somebody telling the driver how to drive and which way to go because you can't see with a very, very narrow vision. But the commander who can pop up out of the turret and have a broader view, or the field commander who has an even broader view because he's watching the whole battlefield. And he can give orders to the individual tanks of the headset. He can see everything. What's coming from behind, what's ahead, what's over here, what's over there. The other people around you, so you don't run into them, bow them up, bow yourself up. So what you have to do the next time you're driving a tank, you have to remember that you have to listen to the command. Because if you don't, even though you don't mean to, you're going to wreck that thing. And the results are just as catastrophic if you wreck it and you don't need it, if you wreck it and you do it. So our tank is ourselves. We have a lot of confidence. We have a lot of confidence that you can do it, that you can say it. We can direct our own way. Many do. But it's best when we listen to the Lord who orders our way, sets our steps. The 23rd Psalm, the psalmist prays to God, God leads me in the right track. The track. Like in the old days, before tanks, when there were shepherds, and they had these tracks. writer of the book of Hebrews, Hebrews, if you want to turn to the New Testament, the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. I'm going to read two more things. Hebrews 12, chapter 1. It begins this way. Thank you. turn aside to the time, the devil. But if the man is from the bones, you may ask the rain from the bones. Turn aside to the time of the season from the bones, so that we are not led off the back. The prayer to God, turn aside to the season to the causes of the world out of the track, miss our step, miss the thing that God has to do. Then it says that the set is the time we ought to remain. Turn aside is the time of the bones. But why is that? Because the time of the season is robbing us of the truth, to drain the tank, to rob us of the gift. We said, is there anything God cannot do? Right? When we repent, when King David repented of his sin, but why is King David called a man after God's own heart? Pray that wonderful prayer in Psalm 51. Let me, God, created me a new heart, new spirit, brought to God. King David was not righteous because he didn't sin. That would be sure if he didn't sin. But what happens when we commit sin and we come to God and we repent and turn aside from that way? God forgives us. Who allows the time of the secret to run along the path that's drifting in and in? Do we accept the forgiveness of God? Put it aside. Cast them off every weight. The writer of Hebrews 12 says, let us run the race that is set before us with patience and endurance, casting aside every weight that would hinder us, and the sin that so easily entangles us. In the old days, the runners used to run and they had little water bottles and stuff, but as soon as they got inside of the finish line, every water bottle would throw every ounce of weight. When we commit sin, the Bible tells us that God is righteous and just and gives us forgiveness. When we're forgiven, we need to cast aside that weight that is not hindering us in our race. And the prayer says, turn aside the time of deceiver from behind us so that we don't listen to that. After we have been forgiven by God, and God has brought it out of sin, let us cast it off. Run forward. Let God order your steps. And don't be dragged back into the sin from which you came. It's so easily entangled us. Be forgiven. Accept forgiveness. God can do it. He can raise you right out of sin. You don't tell me that you go bury that trash in the backyard and you can run back out there and dig it up and sit there and put it. Nobody in here does that, do you? Why would we do that mistake? When we've learned what we can learn and we have repented and been forgiven, that trash gets hauled away forever. Just bury it in our little secret backyard since the time since we got behind us to dig it up and start sprinkling it. That's why the prayer says, deliver us from some time. Let him put up on his front of back in the face. Don't want to be led off the track from the front. Don't want to be pulled back from behind. About the ability and the power of God to lift us up and exceeds our ability to fall. For the righteous man fall many times. And the Lord is the man. Not allowed to utter the ability of God. Lord, deliver us from the time of the deceiver in front of us. Let us pray. Deliver us from the time of the deceiver behind us. Not the weak voice of the buyer, the weak voice of God, who tells us, thinks about us, all of his thoughts, takes the bite in our bread. Come to him and forgive us. Restore that fellowship.
Arriba.